Welcome to Backstage with Becca Beat with special guest Jack Kehilemi. Hi everyone, and welcome to this episode of Backstage with Becca Beat. On this episode, this Chicago native was the winner of the 2016 Broadway in Chicago, Illinois High School Musical Theater Award for Best Actor, which earned him a Jimmy Awards nomination. Regionally, he's played the roles of Pippin in Pippin, Tom Collins in Rent, Tony in West Side Story, and currently he is on the Moulin Rouge tour, where he is a swing and understudies the roles of Christian and the Duke. Please welcome Jack Kehilemi. So, first of all, I'm going to get right into it. How are you doing?
I'm good. We're coming on to the weekend here. So this Friday always feels like Monday in terms of schedule, because that's like we have the 5-show weekend. So other people, yep. It's Friday night. Us, it's like, get to work.
Yeah, that's insane. So is Sunday night kind of like your Friday night on tour?
It is. Yeah. And then we only have the one day off. So Monday is simultaneously our Saturday and our Sunday.
Yeah. Okay, so that, it kind of works.
Kind of.
So, kind of. So, have you always known that you wanted to be a theater performer and, like, perform on stage, sing on stage, entertain people for a living?
I have. I've always been a big theater nerd. My parents would dress me up as a leprechaun on St. Patrick's Day when I was a child, like, 4 years old, and they would have me sing old Irish Celtic music and Irish tenor songs. So they're training the upper register even from youth. So I've always knew I wanted to perform, probably not as a professional leprechaun, but theater seemed like the next best thing. So that's pretty much where I began.
Wow. Do you have like Irish in you?
I do. Yeah. My maternal grandparents are 100%. And then I have one grandparent on my dad's side that's 100 as well, I think. I'll have to check the 23 and me, but a lot of Irish.
Yeah, a lot of Irish. So more than me, because like my mom is like, you're like 2% or 1% Irish or something. And I'm like, oh, okay, sure, that counts.
Anything counts.
So do you remember what the first show you saw growing up was, where you were like, I want to do that. I want to be on stage.
I do. I saw the first one. Well, I saw a lot as a child. I don't remember. But the first one, I was like, whoa. My parents took me to see Evita at the local high school. And I was like totally blown away. This girl playing Evita was like out of this world. And it was like totally not a high school production. It was insane. And I was totally wowed. And then I also saw a production of Grease at Edge of the Wood in Chicago, where I'm from. And at intermission, I ran up and I signed up for the first acting class because I was so impressed.
You're like, I have to do this. I have to be on stage.
Gotta do Grease.
I mean, and hey, Chicago has pretty great theater in it. So I feel like very lucky to grow up in the Chicago area.
Yeah, we have tons of theaters, equity, non-equity. We have even like some tours that go out of Chicago. It's a very bustling theater town.
Yes, exactly. So I want to ask, what is your favorite regional show that you have ever been a part of and why?
Oh, my favorite regional show. I did a show with the Griffin Theater in Chicago called Letters Home. And it was a piece about the war in Afghanistan. And it was actual letters written from soldiers who had some who had passed on, some who had not, and just kind of like what that time period was like for them. It was really, really powerful and very well put together, and they've been doing it for I think 15 years now. The original production won a Joseph Jefferson, which is like the Chicago Tonys, and it's really cool, and I think they tour it sometimes as well. So if you ever get a chance to see that.
Oh, so not only you grew up in Chicago and you got nominated for Jimmy Awards, I saw.
I did, yeah.
Was that out of Chicago? That's insane. Because I feel like the town school in Chicago, like that specific area, has to be super competitive.
They run it through Broadway in Chicago, the Illinois Awards. And Broadway in Chicago is so good about getting as many schools involved as possible. And they, I think my year was like, they had 275 high schools involved in the awards. And they also award like not just actors and actresses, but like directors and set design. And like, they make it like a little high school Tony. So it was, yeah, it was very cool. They're great about getting everybody involved.
Yeah. I mean, there's several people who have participated in the Jimmy Awards who are like on ongoing tours right now. Why do you think the Jimmy Awards have like gotten, I feel like they grow and grow more and more every year, like a bigger and bigger deal every year for people to be like, oh, I'm participating in the Jimmy Awards as like a high school student.
Yeah, I think it's just because it's such a unique and an amazing experience, because you have, you spend 10 days in New York working with like, not just, they always say like, oh, you know, these professionals, but really they get like Broadway stars to come in and like coach you. And you're like, just like a 17-year-old kid. It's incredible. Karen Olivo was there my year from Ooh. Moulin Rouge. And Gavin Creel was there my year. Howard McGill, like in tons of like big Broadway names. So that was cool to see. Eden Espinosa, to get like their take on the business. And it was interesting because all the takes weren't like 100% positive. Like it was a very authentic, like, this is what Broadway is. And then dance, they give you dance training and then you get to perform on Broadway. It's I'm so happy that it exists and continues to exist. And when you pick like that, like, you know, you get the best from every state, you know, a lot of those kids definitely you would expect to go on to do it professionally. And that's probably why they have such great alum.
Yeah. And the names you mentioned, they are just like casual, like, oh, I've seen them in like one or two show names. They're like names that people are like, yeah, that person is huge.
Yeah. Tony Award winners. It is so cool. Such a great experience.
Did you get any advice from any of them that you'll like always remember for the rest of your life?
Ooh, let me think. That Broadway is not the only, because when I was at like 17, I was like, Broadway, Broadway, Broadway. They were like, that you can sustain yourself as an actor, not only on Broadway. And it's very rare actually to go, you know, production contract to production contract, that you can, work in, there's tons of regional houses and you can go show to show to show through that and then go to Broadway or a tour, or there's tons of there's like a variety of work, and also just little tips about auditioning and stuff that I still carry with.
And I feel like that's so important to know, because it's like, yes, like Broadway is huge to eventually to get to, but it's like no one has the same journey in life.
Exactly. Yeah, totally.
It's all different. So doing the math, you're pretty new graduate. When was your audition for Moulin Rouge, the tour?
Yeah, so I would have been class of 2020.
Yeah.
But I ended up leaving school after the first year. I went to Boston Conservatory. And just in terms of my path, I wanted to kind of get to it. So I started working regionally in Chicago. I worked at like the Marriott, the Paramount, Drury Lane, Griffin Theater. And then I also did some summer stock. I did the Rev up in upstate New York. So I kind of used that as my college experience. And then through appointments and stuff and through my agent, I had an appointment for Moulin Rouge in 2019. It was like kind of like a cattle call back then. And I like sang, and I don't know who it was for, but they kind of were just like, no, like I never heard back in 2019. And then I got like a legitimate appointment in the fall of 2021. So a lot, way later, after I sent in a tape of Roxanne and Duke Song. And then I flew into New York for a callback in late fall, early winter, and just sang through all the material once. And then I didn't hear for a really long time. And
had to wait.
Yeah, I thought it was over. And then I had an offer for another show. And my agent was like, oh, we can't quite accept this other show yet because Moulin Rouge hasn't gotten back. And I was like, Moulin Rouge? I was like, that was ages ago. And she was like, yeah, it's still up in the air. And then around Christmas, I got the confirmation and we started like a couple weeks later. So it was like a really quick turnaround, but I was over the moon. I love the show. So I was very excited.
They made the announcement then on purpose. They were like, we're going to give everyone like gifts for Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's also kind of on a rolling basis because people got their offers at different times. And, you know, there's lots of moving pieces in casting. So it's not, you know, you don't quite get it all at once. We have some people in the cast who joined. We got cast on Friday and started rehearsals on Monday. So
that would blow my mind. That's insanity because then you have to like pack and be like, what am I taking on tour? Which like, right. Speaking of which, how do you like, I mean, even if you know ahead of time, how do you go about packing and planning to go out on the road for, I don't know how many months, but like however long your contract ends up being?
That's a great question. Yeah, people never think about that, but that's a great question. So I have my car here. So I like just packed the car to the brim and I'm taking that, but most people are flying. So I don't know what they're doing. I know that some people have like containers. Some people are like total pros. Like they have like this sock goes in this thing and this is, and then we pack it up and then we vacuum it and then it goes down to the size of this and you put it in. People really have it down pat. I am not exactly Marie Kondo. I can't quite give you all the hacks, but I have a full car. I can tell you that.
I mean, I stress out about packing for like 5 days. And take like my whole closet. So
that's kind of what I did. Yeah.
And that's like 5 days. That's not like 6 months or a year of touring. So
we also do get big trunks. I didn't know about this. And we have trunk day and they come and they drop off the trunks and pick up the trunks. And like, you get like, it's great for, I gave my trunk away to someone who flies, but you can like pack this big trunk with all your stuff and you can put whatever. People put like musical instruments. So that's very helpful. So they help you out in that regard.
I mean, but then you have to also figure out like when to pack, like around rehearsals and stuff and like around two show days and.
Yeah, it's so much.
A whole schedule. So when you went in to audition, you mentioned singing the Roxanne and the Duke song. Did you know that you were going to be a standby for both roles or?
Yeah, so it actually was an audition for to be a cover, okay. Which they do. So you go in, they had their principals and then they're looking for coverage. So I was in, yeah, so I did a couple Christian scenes, a couple Duke scenes. I did Your Song as well. It's like a big packet. And they just, I just like went through it and they're like, okay. And I left. And then I was like, well, that's over. And then got the call.
And then you were like, okay, I guess I'll wait for however long it made me wait. Had you seen the show on Broadway before auditioning?
I hadn't seen the show, but I had like memorized the whole cast recording. I thought it was so fantastic because I loved the movie. And then when the cast recording came out, I was like on repeat with it. But I was in Chicago, so I was always like, oh, I'll just wait till the tour comes and I'll see the tour. But hey. Hey. But then when I was in New York, I saw it like four times, I think. During rehearsals.
It's so good.
So good. Oh my gosh.
I mean, and it takes like what the movie does and puts it on stage so well and seamlessly. Like it's perfect. Perfect.
Yeah, it's really heightened. You feel like you're being dropped right in. It's like, yeah. And it's like the whole audience is like the club too. And it's just, there's fire. It's like acrobats and people in the air. It's insane.
It's nuts. And the lighting is insane. It's like, I don't know, should get every set award ever.
They must have thousands of light bulbs on the stage. We were in rehearsal yesterday and I was like looking around and I found new light bulbs. There's light bulbs under chairs. There's just so many lights and the lights are incredible, but there's like, there's gotta be thousands of them, but it's a feat for sure.
Oh, there's gotta be. Yeah. So. How, when you go in to audition, knowing you're going to be a cover for two roles, or knowing you're auditioning for two roles, how do you keep your nerves down when, like, they're both lead roles? And watching the movie, you obviously know both of the roles and both the responsibility of the roles, and they're both vastly different.
Yeah, the nerves are an interesting thing. I'm always very, I wouldn't say I'm a nervous person, but I think every actor gets nervous, you know? So in the waiting room for the audition, I'm always like standing up and like walking around and like doing this and like getting in the, cause you know, if they say, if you're not nervous, you don't care. So I don't know if that's true, but I definitely, you know, I was very invested in the audition. So I was definitely nervous. But once you get in there and like you start, you kind of just have to like
turn
the nerves off. So I kind of like live in the nerves a little bit, and then I'm like, okay, that's over. Now let's go do it.
Yes, exactly. So during the rehearsal process, I don't know if you learned a specific role first. I know you've made your Christian debut. Have you made your Duke debut yet?
I have not, no.
Okay, so did they tell you like you're going to learn Christian first, or did you learn both at the same time?
Yeah, so I actually went in and I also covered two ensemble roles. So I'm technically a swing. I don't do traditionally what a swing would do. I'm not kicking in my face, but I walked in and I was like, are they going to make me cover the dancing swings? I was like, what's going on? And I was like sitting around the first day, like, and then finally, the director came up and was like, all right, so you're going to cover 9 to 10, which are the non-dancing, flat tracks. And then they're like, and we'll have you start with Christian first. So I have started with Christian first, and then, I've done Christian quite a bit now. I think I've done 22 performances as Christian on the tour. And then, we have different people. We have different people have started like rotating into new, learning new tracks. And it was just a matter of like, you know, getting everyone the material.
So what was your Christian debut like? That's such an exciting debut, especially like as a movie fan and after seeing the show on Broadway. What was that day like, and how do you make the role of Christian your own on stage?
It was scary because it's a beast of a part. So we had a lot of COVID outbreaks in toward the beginning of our run, but I guess it's good to get it out of the way fast. So then I got the call from the stage manager that our Christian was going to be on COVID leave. So I was like, and I'm from Chicago, and I was actually living with my parents at the time because I moved out of my apartment when I got the tour. So I had my dad drive me down, and I was like, like in the car. And then he was like, you got it, you're fine. And then I had like 12 people in the audience that night who just like dropped everything on a dime to come. And then I got to do like 12 in a row. So I got to like really kind of like find, you know, new choices and kind of live in the part. And I had like all kinds of people come because it was my hometown. I had people from like my kindergarten class show up at the stage door, and I was like, oh my God. So it was so cool. To do it on the home front was special.
Yeah. How exciting to get to make your Christian debut and lead debut on tour, like in your hometown.
It was so special. Like, yeah.
I know him. That's so cool for everyone. What is your favorite song to sing, or your favorite, favorite song to sing as Christian? I mean, there's like some like medleys and stuff in the show, I know, but what's your favorite to sing?
I think my favorite is probably going to be Your Song. Ooh. I think it's just, that's one of the most beautiful songs ever put down, and that arrangement that they have in there is so smart and incredible and exciting, and the orchestrations and kind of like the little story they tell within it too is so beautiful. And I love just the being in the elephant is cool, and it's all really, really brilliant. And so I think that would be my favorite part.
And I feel like that probably gets a really big reaction because like for people who haven't seen the show, like it's a modernized version of the movie. So like not every song is the same. And then like Your Song is in the movie and on the tour. So people are probably like, okay, like this was in the movie too.
Yeah, it's like a common, you know, it's people are expecting it. So it's nice to deliver on that.
Yes, exactly. So why, I have to ask too, because I feel like Roxanne is like everyone's like Christian song that they're like waiting the whole show to hear. Why do you think that is? Again, it's in the movie, but like, I feel like the scene that they put on stage is just done so well, intricately well.
I think people are so excited because of Nini. Actually, I think the choreography there is insane. She gets dragged by her, I'm not a dancer, I don't know what you would call the move, but her body is like this, and she's on a point, it looks, and they push her like a wheelbarrow onto the stage really fast, and she's like, and then they throw her up in the air. It's so incredible to watch. It's almost like, even when like you're singing it, like you're staying in the passion, but you're like, oh my god, that looks incredible. And the lights are going nuts. And then Christian's okay too. But it's also, yeah, it's musically very exciting for Christian. And I think it's just, that's like everything in that scene is so heightened. There's nothing that's relaxed about that at all in any regard. Everyone's given it. And I think that's why people are looking forward to it.
Speaking of that, how much vocal like freedom do you get as a cover to like explore different ways to sing the Christian songs?
I haven't really gotten any, like, they haven't like put any strong limits on there. Usually it's like, if you do something, usually in rehearsal, they'll be like, don't do that. Or like, you know, if you have like a riff, you know, the courteous thing to do is to go and like say, hey, how about this riff? And then you run the riff by him. And they're, Justin Levine, our music man, he is fantastic about being like, yeah, give it a shot. Like, he has like the most incredible ear and the most creative mind, even in terms of that. Like, in terms of, we were once sitting by the piano and he was like running down different versions of like Roxanne, like things you could try. And like, he's very open to musical expression. And Andrew Graham, our music director, is also very open to it. So there's lots of freedom, and people definitely, you know, take them up on it.
I mean, and I got to see, I saw the show twice on Broadway, and then I saw you as Christian in Los Angeles. And I have to say, you truly make the role like your own while sticking to the script and while sticking to the story everyone knows. It was magical to witness.
Oh, thank you so much.
Of course. And was it exciting getting to perform in a big city like Los Angeles on like, I mean, where it's like, all the glitz and glamour on your first week there, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. It was so cool. It's our biggest, it's the biggest house the show has ever played to. So the first night we were here was the largest audience, that had ever like at once seen Moulin Rouge. So that was very cool. And they've been incredible audiences. They've been like super loud and expressive and like passionate. We got, on opening night, there was a standing ovation after Bad Romance.
Yeah.
And just like we feel very supported here, and we love the weather. Doing musical theater in the sun, that is unheard of. You know, usually you're in New York in the snow, or Chicago in the snow. So it's very cool to be here. And outside of the Pantages, you see all the stars of like, there are lots of theater celebrities. They have like Idina Menzel and Lin-Manuel Miranda. So they definitely celebrate theater here as well. I thought it would just be, you know, it's definitely a film and TV town, but they have been very welcoming of the thespians.
Oh yes. There's a lot of theater in Los Angeles is amazing. I lived on it for 5 years, and it's so good. It's so special.
Oh, fantastic. I'd love to see some, but you know, we're so busy.
Yeah. I mean, the venue I used to go to all the time shut down, but like there's a venue down the street and stuff. But
oh, so cool.
Yeah. So you're in the promo for the tour right now, or one of the promos for the tour. Did you know that they were filming a promo the night you were on as Christian?
So they had scheduled all that. I think we have a really like super high quality like pro shot promo, and that is with our full original company. But I think one of the nights in Chicago, they were, yeah, taking B-roll. And then I assumed I would just be cut out of it because I'm not Connor, you know? But it was a funny thing to see, you know, I popped up. I was like, oh, that's okay. Yeah. So that's, you know, that'll be a funny little memory to hold on to, a little reminder of my COVID run.
I mean, what a cool gift to have.
Yeah, it was cool. It was very cool. And I love that, that specific commercial they do for Moulin Rouge. They use that audio quite a bit. Yeah. Welcome to the Moulin Rouge. I think that's, their marketing is so yeah. Brilliant. Sure. Honored to be a part of it.
Okay. So I want to wrap up because I know you have to go to rehearsal soon. So why should theater fans come see Moulin Rouge on tour? Not only theater fans, like fans of the movie and fans of Baz Luhrmann.
I think they should come because we've been without theater for so long, and this is the perfect, like, this is like theater personified. It has everything you're looking for in a Broadway show, like packed in and packed in beautifully. And like, it's just over the top explosive, and it will fill every theatrical craving you've had over the past, you know, two, three years. And also it's a love letter to the movie. It's every like aspect of the movie that you loved is in there. And then it kind of ups the ante a little bit, and it gives you Broadway's version of Moulin Rouge. And you already know all the songs, so you can come, you can sing along. And we have just some incredible actors, incredible singers. Courtney Reed and Connor Ryan, who are the leads, are out of this world. Insane. If you ever get the chance to see them, they're just blow your mind. And I just think it's a good old time. And there's also a lot of heart in the show as well. So you really can go through your whole array of emotions in just 2 hours and 45 minutes and have a blast doing it.
So true. Everyone was so hyped up when I saw it. Every time I've seen it, everyone gets so hyped up. And I'm curious, have you performed with both the teens who have gone on so far? I know Nikki hasn't made her debut yet, but.
I have not. Just not with Nikki, but I learned the show with Yvette.
Okay.
And Yvette and I have done it now, I think 3 or 4 times. And then I've done it with Courtney, I think like 16 times, if that math is right. Ooh. So it's definitely, yeah, it's interesting because Yvette and I like found things in New York in rehearsal that we still do. And then Courtney like is just such a pro, and so is Yvette, but such a pro and so like willing to just go with a total new Christian, you know, and she'll play with you. She's not like set in her, like, she's not like, this is how we do it. She'll like, yeah. She'll have fun with you up there. And it's such a great experience to be able to do it with both of them. Such different takes and such fantastic takes on Satine and such gracious actresses. And it's fantastic.
Live theater. It's what makes live it so special is like seeing different people perform opposite each other and how it changes every night.
Absolutely.
So real quick, what is your dream show to be in?
My dream show to be in is The Phantom of the Opera.
Ooh,
People give me hate for it. I think it's the best musical ever written. I think it's so fantastic.
I can definitely see it.
Thanks. Yeah, I was like, I saw it as a child I was like 12. I went with my mom to New York to see it on Broadway. And I like sat in the seat like 5 minutes after the curtain went down. I was like, oh my God. I was like, I have to do this. So that would be the goal. I think once I've done that, I can retire.
It's mind-blowing. It truly is. I feel like people are like, it's kind of overrated. But I'm like, no. When you like see it live, you're like stunned by what happens in the show.
Yeah, it's running that long for a reason. It's very kind of Moulin Rouge-esque, actually, in terms of like, they transport you to Paris and a time gone by and like just throw you into that world, and like the sets are over the top and all kinds of exciting music and choreography. It's very similar in a strange way.
It is. So before I get to my last question, how do you work on self-confidence in this industry? Because like, it is such a tough industry, and I feel like you only see like on social media, like you only see like the, hey, I booked this, hey, I booked that. But there are like highs and lows.
Yeah. So it's, you got, you, when I was first starting out, I heard like, you know, you hear mostly no, like you, and you'll get used to it. And I was like, I'll never get used to it. Like I hearing no, that's so painful. And then I got used to it. You go on so many auditions that like, you don't have the, no human being would have the emotional capacity to like take every no to heart. Like you just have, you have to be like, oh, I didn't get, oh, that one. Oh, okay. There's just so much, you know, you're just auditioning so much. And then if there's something, I have a rule that if there's something that I really wanted that I got close to, I give myself one day to be sad if I lose it, just one day. But if it's something I got like super close to and I almost got it and I lost it, I get 1 week to be sad and then I have to get over it. So that's my rule for that. And then, you know, you are your own product, right? So you got to just trust that the product you're selling is a good one. And if they don't want it, they don't want it, on to the next.
Yes. I mean, it's, and you can't compare yourself in this industry. I feel like compare.
Exactly.
It breaks people.
And you got to remember that no one is doing, you know, it's a cliche, but it's a cliche for a reason. No one's doing you, you know?
Yeah.
So go show them you. They've never seen your take on it.
Exactly. You're the only you. So where can people follow you on social media to like keep up with you on tour, to find out when you're making your debut as the Duke, which I know you've been probably doing put-ins for?
Yeah, we've done some put-in rehearsals. I'm on social, really, I just use the Instagram. And that's Jack K. Halemi. I think that's also the username as well. So just Jack K. Halemi. I was on TikTok for a bit during the pandemic, but I kind of gave that up. But yeah, Instagram is where I usually post like upcoming Christian dates if I get any, or like going to be on tonight. So.
Perfect. And yeah. I love that they like, that they encourage you all to like post when your dates are. That's really cool.
Yeah. They're great about we're allowed to let people know. And
yeah, that's so amazing. How, yeah. What is a put in and how like do you prepare to play the Duke? Because like the Duke isn't Christian. The Duke is like kind of like someone who I feel like everyone in the audience by the end of the show is like, oh, don't like
that. Yeah. So our directing team, our creative team, Moulin Rouge in general, has been like incredible about getting understudies prepared. Like they, you know, because with COVID and everything, and like I think everyone in the industry has realized like how important it is for people to be covering multiple parts and like to have coverage for roles. So they've been like incredible about like having it. Like when I went on for Christian, I felt like I'd already done it a million times. So they've been rehearsing me there. And then a put-in rehearsal is when the onstage company who comes, who like does the show every night, they come to work and we run the show and they'll be in like street clothes or dance clothes with their mics on. But the people who are doing new tracks will be in like full costume. So I'll be like doing like Evil Duke next to somebody like with an Adidas shirt on. So it's kind of funny. But they're so, the onstage company is also so great about like supporting and like welcoming you in. And like if something, like if you're in the wrong spot, we say shove with love, they'll put you in the right spot. And that's pretty much what the put-in is. And usually it's like a great way to gauge like, oh, this is how this song sounds on the mic in this big theater. And like, oh, I can't, you know, see my hand in front of my face because these lights are so bright. So I'll have to remember that when I do this. And yeah, so that's basically a put-in, and it's pretty nerve-wracking, but mostly it's fun.
Are you excited to make your Duke debut and play like the evil guy that everyone hates?
Yes. Oh my God. We love to play the villain. When I went in for the initial audition, we worked mostly on Duke stuff. So I was like, oh, they'll probably really like my Duke. And we didn't really do a lot of Christian. Ooh. So I was like, oh, I'll probably be like, they'll probably start me on the Duke first. But then I'm mostly do Christian. So I'm excited to get back into the swing of the Duke.
Ooh, and I'll put your handles in the lower thirds and in the description so people can follow you and see when you're on as the Duke eventually.
Oh, great. Thank you. Yeah.
Hopefully. And lastly, do you have anything you want to promote or talk about? Or do you just want to tell people to come see Moulin Rouge on tour?
I don't know if I have anything to promote quite yet, but yeah, I've been pretty busy with the show. Moulin Rouge on tour. at the Pantages Theater running through September 4th, 5th, 4th?
September something, man.
Early September.
Yeah.
And we were 8 times a week, so you got plenty of opportunity. And if you want to come see me, check me out on social media and I'll post when I'm on.
Perfect. And I'll also put the links to buy tickets in the description.
Yes, that's important.
Yeah. So thank you so much for joining me to talk on my interview show today.
And thank you for having me. This has been a ball.
Of course, of course. I really loved your portrayal of Christian. So I had to reach out after.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for coming. And thank you for the support of the show.
Thanks for watching this episode of Backstage with Becca B. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Becca B Talks TV. Or for more exclusive content from this interview and more, you can follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Backstage with Becca B. Make sure to subscribe to my channel and like this video. Or if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, go ahead and give me a 5-star rating. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll see you guys next time.